I know you think I've lost my mind. The message they'll never forget. Avoiding election infection. For those of you that were here last week, you were made aware of we talked about the Christian in politics. I had this message planned. For those of you that don't know, I hold a BA from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, an AA with honors from Wingate University, an MA with languages from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and a doctorate from Drew University. So I am Dr. Slack this morning. What is election infection, and why is this important and not a joke? Election infection. And let me turn this thing on, Robbie. And how to avoid it. Really, how to get rid of it, because it is rampant in the church and in our world today. Election infection is when you as a believer, and when churches and when groups allow their political view, their political practice, and their political involvement to do unnecessary damage to their Christian witness. I'm going to repeat that. When you as believers allow your political affiliation, your practice, your thoughts, your ideas to damage your Christian influence and your Christian witness. Everybody knows, ladies and gentlemen, I was in a conversation recently, and this is going to make some of you so happy. Get your Bible and get ready. We're going to prove that Jesus, if he were here, would affiliate. And don't any of you walk out, please. Hang in here. Don't get mad and walk out yet. All right? That Jesus, if he were here, would affiliate with the Republicans. Now, I'm going to show you that in the Bible. We may have some Democrats here. We're going to convert you this morning. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34. Clear biblical evidence, I was taught by a brilliant person, passed on to me by known doctors, Dr. Stanley and Dr. Groeschel, and I had to come share it with you. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. Jesus is speaking. This proves that Jesus would affiliate with the Republicans. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And the nations will be gathered to Him, in verse 32, before Him, and He will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and He'll put the sheep on His what? On His right. And the goats on His... Everybody knows that Jesus said the good people lean to the right, the bad people lean to the left. Amen? Well, that's obvious. Republicans are always called the right. And if you go throughout the Bible, Jesus talks about right and wrong. And so there, it's just, folks, if you don't understand that, that's that. Listen, Matthew 9:9, I'll give you further evidence. Jesus would be a Republican. Beginning at Matthew 9:9, it is the calling of a guy to serve with Jesus by the name of Levi. As Jesus went from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Just hang with me now. Go ahead, Robbie, the next verse. Verse 10. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table, the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and His disciples. Now, in some Bibles, the tax collector was also called what? You don't remember this? Publicans. They just let the ring off. Now, you see that. There's the publican. And who is more for taxes than Republicans? They always talking about taxes. Amen? Come on here.
So, there's Jesus sitting with sinners. We know who they were because they were on the left, right? And, or maybe it's like the guy that was talking to him. He said, no, Jesus, if he were here, would be a Democrat. I just made some of you really mad. In fact, he said, I can prove it to you. He said, turn to Matthew 4:23. And I did. I want you to turn with me. Matthew 4:23 offers up biblical evidence that Jesus would be a Democrat. He would affiliate with the Democratic Party. In verse 23, Jesus went through all the Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Folks, there it is, right there. That's universal free health care. Who's more for that than the Democrats are? Oh, come on! Matthew 14:13, you don't need to turn there. What did Jesus do? There was a big crowd one day. They were hungry. Did he send them all away? He said, no, we're going to feed them. Who's giving out more to the poor than the Democrats have? Fed 5,000 of them. We fed a bunch yesterday. You find in another place in Matthew that he fed 4,000. Jesus obviously was a different affiliate for the Democrats. Now you go, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you would be surprised that in our world today and in our churches and in this church, we have election infection because people won't necessarily take those passages of the Bible to do what's called a proof text. A proof text is when you take a passage of Scripture and you lift it out of its context and you apply it. I want all the men to look up at me because you're going to like this one. And you bet, hey, you're going to like this one. Lord, you're going to love this one. The Bible says clearly, let your women keep silent in the churches, for I do not allow for them to speak. Amen, men? I dare you. You better not. Cody? Your mama ain't far, boy, all right? It's there. You say, I believe the Bible. It is in there. I do not allow women to usurp authority over men in the church. It's in there. And you can take that passage and you can lift it out and you can begin to apply it. And I've heard preachers preach on it. But when Apostle Paul was using that particular passage, you want to know what he said? What he was talking about? He was talking about the problem they were having in the church in speaking in tongues. They didn't have interpreters. He wasn't saying women can't say anything. He said, I don't allow women to speak in tongues in the church because that was creating all kind of issues in their day. But you see, we can take any passage. It said Jesus sat with the publicans, that the people on the right are the good ones, right? Aren't the Republicans on the right? It's all part of election infection, you know. And some of you will say, well, I don't take it that far. Election infection is when you allow your politics begin to shape and work on your faith and begin to do damage to your Christian witness. How many of us have said it? Do not raise your hand. I wouldn't vote for him, or I wouldn't vote for her. I'd vote for the devil before I vote for her. Or as one of the candidates said recently, she is the devil. Okay? And some of you may agree with that. Let me tell you what's wrong. Or here's another one. It was like Miss Rita. I told some of you about Miss Rita last week. Miss Rita, when I had her in Roseboro, was 93 years old. She had been raised as a Dixiecrat. For those of you that know what that is, that was a conservative Democrat, which most of the people in North Carolina were for years. And she said, I will vote for the jackass before I vote for a Republican. Now, that seems funny and a harmless statement. But what would you do if you were a Republican, or you were someone who felt like this is my political view, and you just said something horrible against me? You know, we do that all the time. We got candidates doing that right and left. That's right. And when we do it in the church, in fact, I need to apologize to those folks that were here Wednesday night. You're going to go, what are you apologizing about? Because I got a bad case of election infection. Because I told them I would love to bring Donald and I'd love to bring Hillary up and just slap the taste out of both their mouths. Now, that is not really what I meant, but it's what I said. And I did watch eyes react to it like, wow, you're a pastor and you want to smack somebody? Well, let me tell you why that was a bad statement. What I really was trying to say is, I'd like to sit them both down. I should have done that. Sit them both down and go, look at the damage you're doing to our country by your constant negative attacks on each other, which 90% of the time are not fully true. And it happens here in the church. I've been hearing conversations, and here's where you're going to find out you got election. I've been hearing conversations. I've been sitting at a table, and two or three will be talking about a particular candidate, and they will be blasting the other one. And I did in a meeting recently. I was in a dinner meeting with some of our folks, and I watched some folks who were they're sharing their political view. I understand that. And they are just lambasting the other candidate, but the other person over there was very, very silent. And I realized that they didn't agree with what they were saying. They not only didn't think it was a good witness, they didn't think it was a good thing to do. Well, we all do that. What would happen if your work, in your work, you had somebody there at work? Maybe you've been trying to influence them for Christ. You're trying to, you know, you're not trying to regurgitate the gospel on them all the time, but you're trying to show them how Christians are. And yet you get in a conversation about politics and you really cross the line. And you never realize that you're crossing that line, allowing your political view to override your faith and practice just may have turned them off to the point that you lost your opportunity for them ever to trust you. Now, listen, we're going to do it, but I'm saying when we get out of hand with it, and it happens in the church. I could ask all the Republicans in here to stand up. Not all of them would. I could ask all the Democrats in here to stand up. I could ask the Libertarians in here to stand up. Well, they wouldn't all do it, but there's some who would. You know, then we'd know.
When we get election infection, when our statements, when our comments, when what we do damages our personal witness, it is a direct, and I want you to hear this clearly because I want you to turn there, it is in direct disobedience to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Luke 10:27. Jesus is dealing with the two political parties. And if any of you are wondering whether Jesus liked political parties, one, he didn't. There were two political parties in Jesus' day that were really strong. One of them was the Pharisees. We probably call them the religious right. And the other was the Sadducees. We call them kind of the religious left. Jesus sure said good things about them. If you haven't read your Bible, pick it up, because he sure talks about the Sadducees and Pharisees and Sadducees, and it was never good. So Jesus didn't identify with political party. Luke 10:27, folks, this is the heart of what it means to be Christian. 10, beginning at verse 27. And he answered, he'd been asked, what does the law say about me and other people, my neighbor? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Now that was no problem, and that's not a problem for me. I don't have any problem loving God. Sometimes he disappoints me, sometimes I don't understand, but I don't have trouble loving God.
But then he went in there and threw that other part at the bottom in there. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now how many of you have neighbors? Raise your hand. I don't have close neighbors. Now, I'm really going to have some fun.
Remember, liars will be friars, okay? How many of you love everything your neighbor's ever done? Amen. Yeah, love everything they've done. We got two neighbors in here, and they're scared not to answer. The rest of us are going to keep it quiet, right? But the Bible says we're to love our neighbor. Well, I used to love my neighbor until I found out that the rascal was a liberal Democrat. They got them pro-choice signs up, and
they want to give this and they want to give that. And I'm a Republican, and we just ain't gonna have fellowship anymore.
In fact, when we get together at the barbecues, we just start fighting. How's the witch you getting ready to vote for? Oh, not bad. How's hair? We do it
But we don't realize that Jesus told us that politics doesn't come first. And right now in America, politics is riding first in a lot of places. It doesn't come first in the life of a believer. Yes, you are to have your opinion. Yes, you can express that. Yes, you can make the Bible say anything you want to for either side. So no, there's not one that's absolutely right and one that's absolutely wrong. I run into folks all the time. They say, well, I'm a Christian, so I'm a Republican. I know some Republicans that don't hold to Christian values. I know some Democrats that are more conservative than some Republicans. We are called, first of all, to be believers. Regardless of their religious belief, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their nationality, regardless of their viewpoint, Jesus said, first of all, we are to love them. We are to love them. We are to love them. And I know some of you want to go, now listen, I love it when you do this because people love to do this. Go, preacher, I can't do that. Okay. Don't talk to me. I'm not the one that told you to do it. Well, I just can't love them. You don't know what they did. I'm not the one that told you to do it. I'm not the one you got to answer to. I'm not the one that you might want to influence. Now, Brenda is, and some of you at Southmont down at the food ministry, can I come put some Donald Trump signs up in the front yard? Wonder how long it'll take him to get shot down. You know what I'm saying? You say, oh, that's just, no. We're to love people first. Now, let me give you an out here, because this is the good one. I love all of y'all. I do. I love you. The Bible says I have to. But I don't have to like what you do at times. Amen? Election infection is affecting our witness, is affecting our church, is affecting our relationship. Nothing wrong with having your political viewpoint. Nothing wrong with expressing, nothing wrong with saying that I am this because they stand for this. But neither side, including the libertarians, stand for perfection all the way around. Election infection is when my election infection, and this one's going to sting because it stings me. You know you have election infection when you talk more in a week about your politics than you do your faith. Ouch. When you share more with people during the week about your political viewpoint or your political talking point than you do about Christ, you are dominated with election infection. For Jesus said we are to go into the world and we are to be salt and we are to be light and we are to share the message. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are to represent Him. So you can sit there this morning and go, I don't know, I don't have election infection. When I push my viewpoint on others to the point that it becomes a negative to them, and without thinking, I have damaged my witness to them. I'll give you a perfect example. Some of my friends are devout Christians, but they're also devout Republicans. And one of them told me that nobody can be a born-again believer and be a Democrat. You believe that? They don't mind telling you that. Well, that's not a problem. You know, you just go, you're just ignorant, okay? But what would you do if you were talking to a lost person and they happen to affiliate more with a Democratic point of view than the Republican point of view, and you said that? What have you just done to your Christian witness and to the faith in general? That's the reason I preach this morning. They know that there's no place for politics in religion. That's not the case. For those of you that have ever been in leadership in a Baptist church, there's more politics in a Baptist church than there is on any other time. Don't tell me. All politics is influence. Let's be careful. Let's hear the word of the Lord who says, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. I love them all. and you're to love them all, and more than spouting and spewing your political opinion, which most of the time is negative, talk about my son. For the Democrats aren't going to solve a thing. And the Republicans aren't going to solve a thing. I can prove that to you. Look at 100 years of history in America. The Republicans have been in charge for a while. Did everything get solved and get perfect? Did it? Help me here. The Democrats have been in charge. Did everything get solved and be perfect? No. The answer is Jesus Christ. As we close this service, let's just be aware of election infection. Yeah, you can have fun. You can say, well, this is what I believe and this is the way I'm going to vote. And be careful. Be careful what you say and how you say it. You may not even be talking to that person. You may be within earshot of that person. And you may damage your Christian witness. So what do I do? First of all, I watch what I say. And if you really want to have a good dialogue with somebody who believes different than you, ask them this question. What brought you to this point of believing that? Not, how can you be so stupid, Tina, to believe that? That's not what I said. Tina shares with me something that I may not agree with politically. And I go, okay, how did you get to that point? How did you get there? Maybe you'll do like a friend of mine said. She said, you know, I used to lean heavily to the right. And she said, until I was invited to go to a protest of Christians at an abortion clinic. Said a police officer was leading a little 13-year-old girl down the sidewalk, and we were on the other side. She said, I really didn't want to be there, but I agreed with my friends I'd go. And the believers are screaming at her, and she knew who they affiliated with because they're also wearing "We're the Religious Right," and we knew what that meant. They're screaming at her, "You are a murdering," and I won't use the word, I would not, period, or in church, "and you're going to hell." She said, you know, I began to look at the issue of choice and life and the death penalty and some of these other issues and helping the poor and doing this and that. I began to open my heart and my mind and look at things differently. Rather than condemning your neighbor or spewing on your neighbor, if you don't agree with them, you agree to disagree. But don't let an election infection ruin your witness. And find out why they believe what they believe. Not in a harsh way, but in a good way. Maybe you'll learn something and you might win a friend. Jesus said you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you, through your Holy Spirit, will help me, because it's me, Lord, first. Watch my tongue. Holy Spirit, if you will hold on to my tongue, and when I get ready to say something that I shouldn't, like I'd like to slap both of them, I'll realize that there was nothing positive in that, and that I'll do what I did today. I'll ask those folks to forgive me as I've asked you for to forgive me. And Lord, I'm going to do what your word says. It says to pray for all of those in authority. I don't have to pray that they'll win. I need to pray, first of all, that they'll come to know you. I need to pray that as they come to know you, that they'll follow you, not their own way. But Lord, help us today to cure ourselves of election infection. And come November 8th, we won't be celebrating, "Thank God it's over." We'll thank you for the opportunity
to have voted our conscience, but to have influenced our world in a positive way. Amen. As we come in our closing hymn, maybe you've never entered into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we found out He's a Republican. Amen. Some of you are going, whoo! Yeah. It says only trust Him. Only trust Him to help you. Now, folks, let me once again say one more thing before we do only trust Him. And it's hymn number 317. It'll be up on the screen. Don't say, that's just the way I am, and God will understand.
Because one of these days, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to go, Lord, I know I was supposed to love my neighbor, but I just couldn't. And Lord, I know I was supposed to do this, but I just couldn't. And you know what Jesus is going to say? Depart from me, the accursed one. For I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, and I was in need. And you cared more about yourself than you did about me or them. Think about that this day.